Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I have no idea if anybody can hear me or see me or any of that kind of stuff, so I'm just going to do what professionals do and just pretend like I know what I'm doing. Last night, I went to, I was shouted by my girlfriend to go see the movie Prometheus, the new Ridley Scott alien prequel film, and I'm having some major, and I don't know what the frack is going on, technical difficulties today. My call recorder's ballsing up. There's my guest hasn't shown up. There's a whole lot of bad stuff going on. I don't know what the hell at all, ladies and gentlemen, so just bear with me. Okay, well, considering I have no idea what the hell is going on, I should probably just start ranting then, eh? Conference room, and the caller lines are now open. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. And if we're extremely and excessively lucky, we may have a guest turn up, possibly, but I have no idea. Ultimately, because this is sometimes what happens in talk radio. You have guests that just basically don't reply in time, or maybe I'll forget to remind them, or you know, there's a bazillion things that go on behind the scene here, ladies and gentlemen, and I apologize for any, you know, cock-ups. Now, Prometheus. Now, who was Prometheus? I had a conversation with my sister last night. She said that Prometheus was mortal. And on the movie Prometheus, said that Prometheus was a titan, right? In Greek times or something like that. And it was the god that gave us fire. Now, what I think is really the agenda here is to try and convince people that, God didn't create us, an alien species did. Now, this has been popped around the transhumanist and the truth movement for a very, very long time. And, basically, this is kind of just a movie that really solidifies that kind of stuff. And it was extremely gory and traumatic and scary. I got my arm clutched rather tightly by my girlfriend during one of the scenes. And during the surgery scene, in fact, I wanted to try and read out my Facebook status if I can. If the damn thing will load, like I said, technical difficulties all up to wazoo today, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what the hell is going on. Like, my computer won't restart properly anymore. Like, if I close any programs before trying to reset the computer won't allow me to reset it or click on anything or whatever. just, oh my God. Oh my God, it's driving me nuts. It really is. So finally, after about maybe 3-4 minutes of waiting, I have half of my YouTube status that is now okay. So yeah, today's going to be a real fun one, ladies and gentlemen, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. So here's the status. I went to see Prometheus last night. I really enjoyed it. It scared the hell out of me, just like watching the original Alien when I was a kid. It was traumatic to watch the surgery scene, and I actually overheated. I couldn't breathe and nearly fainted in my seat. I was wearing my big jacket and everything like that, and just sweat pouring out of every orifice, man. It was just overheating, couldn't breathe, couldn't see, like literally couldn't see, okay? All right, I was trying to see the screen, okay, but my vision went blurry and I couldn't see anything, okay? All I saw was this vague white blur kind of thing, like my... It was strange. I was trying to see the screen, but it all went blurry and I couldn't see anything as the sweat poured out of my forehead, you know? And I'm talking about not just, you know, just a little few beads here and there. I'm talking about my entire body. Within seconds was matted with sweat, okay? I completely soaked through every bit of clothing that I had. It was unfreaking believable how horrific that scene was, and I had a physical reaction to it, okay? Now, I think my body was trying to protect my mind from the horror, and even thinking about it and trying to remember the scene kind of churns my stomach. And it raises my heart rate, like it's even happening to me right now. And I always want to say bravo to Ridley Scott. You did it again. Also, I, unlike everyone else in the theatre, stayed behind to watch the credits all the way to the end. You know how sometimes at the end of films, they'll have like a tiny clip, like right at the very, very end of the credits or anything like that for the real diehard people who aren't just the average douchebag clowns who just, you know, go in to see a film and then think it's all over and then walk out. You know what's at the end of Prometheus? Not a clip, but a website address. And it says copyright. I'm not kidding. It said that this film, all characters and everything, are copyrighted, and including the technology that they have in there, because it's a very technology-based movie, because Wayland Corporation is a technology company, okay? And it says it's all patented under Wayland Industries, okay? And it turns out that they have a website, waylandindustries.com. You can go there and you can check out all this extra stuff that they've built up and created on top of the original theme for the movie. And this is kind of very interesting to me because of the fact that, hey, what you're doing is you're attempting to blur the lines between fiction and reality. That's what these people are trying to do with this movie, is that they really are attempting to make people think in some way, shape, or form that the premise of this movie is actually very real, okay? And this is what is said on the website. There's a YouTube presentation here, a TED Talk by Peter Wayland, as in of Wayland Industries, where he talks about Prometheus and he talks about technology and how it's developing and blah, 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 and how we now have the technology to be the gods. He said, no, in fact, literally he says, we are now the gods. Okay, think about the mentality about a human being, which is a mortal construction. We can't live forever, not without the aid of extremely advanced technology, which most of the public don't have the ability to get their hands on. And in the movie, Peter Wayland is also very conscious of his mortality, and he's conscious of the fact that he's human and he has a soul. And his son, David, which is actually an android, who he says is basically the closest thing to a son he's got. He's programmed him, he created him, he made him, he built him, and everything like that, has no soul. And so he doesn't care. And, of course, what's happening in this film is the discovery of a race of aliens called the Engineers. The Engineers are a advanced civilization of biotech. Biotech developers, as far as I can see, conscienceless biotech developers. Somebody with enough resources, scientific know-how, advanced technology, that they are capable of literally creating life. The opening scene is in Iceland, and one of these creatures, he basically looks very, very human. All muscular with the abs and all of that kind of stuff, just wearing a little diaper or whatever. And he's standing on the top of this waterfall and he drinks this liquid. It dissolves him and dissolves his DNA. And then as he falls into the waterfall, dissolving as he goes, it zooms in even further. And then it sees the DNA reassembling itself into human DNA and red blood cells out of that pool and then forming and multiplying and stuff. You know, just, they're basically trying to say, look, some aliens came here long ago, and just because they could, they created us. Okay, and we're a slave species. And also, the other premise of the film is that they want to kill us. Like they created us, and now, this is what the alien part is actually a bioweapon. Okay, a mutating bioweapon that is designed specifically to be ingested through the mouth. And then it will mutate your body and turn you into some kind of horrific creature. Or it will gestate something inside of you, and that horrific creature will then burst forth out of the chest. Now, this is a very, very horrific concept, and I think it's part of the reason why the film was so scary and horrific for me anyways, because of that whole the whole feeling of having something ripping itself out of your chest kind of thing. Yeah, pretty rough. And we've got a caller in here, and ladies and gentlemen, you guys can all call in as well, 218-339-8525. If you have seen this film, I'd like to hear your commentary and thoughts on it as well. Sid in Kentucky. What's up, man?
Hey, good afternoon, Vinny. Or morning.
It's the morning.
Yes, I keep forgetting we're halfway around the world. It's a wonderful thing, the internet. Hey, my friend, there are some problems with Apple computers right now and the internet. Just letting you know, you're not alone.
Okay. Well, I have serious doubts that I'm the only one who uses a computer that has technical difficulties, so that's not much comfort, Sid.
Yeah. Well, no.
Are you talking about like a widespread sort of like reported in the news, all apples are fracking up all over the world kind of thing? No.
And I don't know if it's what you're doing. I'm guessing it is. And what you're, the website you're on. For some reason, Vinny, you start to get deep into things, and I'm using two apples to do just that, and I'm having absolutely things stop cold on me for no reason, and no other reason than I'm in deep stuff that maybe, you know, they don't want me in. I don't know. I don't know why they would care. I can't do much about anything. I'm just who am I? I'm just a human, and I'm really not, though.
Well, see, I wonder about this, because every time we have a technical issue or anything like that on a conspiracy-oriented radio show, we always just go, it must be Mossad or anything like that, just messing with me. And what I've found is that 99.99999% of the time, all your technical issues are just that, technical issues, and they happen constantly. And this is regardless of whatever you're doing. Like, I've done dance videos and other sort of stuff where I have huge amounts of technical difficulties, or I'll be just using my personal Facebook and talking about just movies that are on, things that I've seen and whatever, and have massive technical issues as well. So I don't believe that I'm being attacked in any way, shape, or form yet. I'm waiting for it, and I can't wait for the day, honestly, because it's going to be great. It'll be like, I don't know, it'll be like moral justification all of a sudden. I'll be like, yay, they hate me enough to actually want to do something about it.
Well, they know you're there, Vinny. You know that. you know, both of us have talked about it privately. You know that they know you're there. Okay?
Yeah.
That right there should just absolutely, well, it does. I already know it does. It makes you that much more determined. You know? So when these things go wrong, and whether it's them or not, or it's little gremlins, you know, which, look, it probably is, but a lot of times when you reboot, Vinny, you know, the problems disappear, and it sounds like you were trying to do just that, and the problems weren't disappearing.
Here's the irony, Sid. I did reboot. I not only rebooted my computer, and this is the difficulty thing. You know how up in the top left-hand corner you got the little Apple symbol, and then you click on it, then there's a little drop-down, and you can shut down, log out, sleep, force quit, or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
I cannot click that. I cannot click anything, okay? I literally had to hold down the power button of the computer in order
to do a hard shutdown, yeah.
Do a hard shutdown, hard reset. And even when I did that, technical issues still plaguing me. And then it was Skype recording, and so I reset that. Still plaguing me. It's fracked, basically. This computer's fracked. I need a new one.
Well, yes, you do.
I think it's just that simple. I'm sick of dealing with stuff that I've been using for too long, and because I work, all right. And a lot of people don't actually work on their computers. They go and they watch stuff, or they'll consume, right? Whereas
a lot of people
actually create stuff for other people to consume, and it requires a hell of a lot more computer power. And because I'm doing it 5 days a week, 6 days a week, 7 days a week sometimes, as I will be doing this weekend, because I'm on the United We Strike International Radio broadcast tomorrow, and the day after I'll be on Freighter X's program as well. So this week's a big week. And what's happening is basically everything starts to frack up eventually. Okay, this is the reason why I needed this new computer in the first place, is because I was doing two grunty documentaries and it just didn't have the power. And then I got this one and it had the power to do that, but not the power to keep doing it infinitely, kind of thing. Because that bloody planned obsolescence, I'm really getting ticked off with it, man. I want a computer that'll actually work and keep working. Okay, that's all that I really want in my life. So I don't have to worry about stuff. But they don't exist. They don't exist. You got to build your own, and it'll still wear out anyway.
Vinny, have you been following the Raspberry Pi development?
No, I haven't.
These computers cost like £19.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're cheap, and they're multimedia machines. They're really good.
Hmm. Well,
yeah.
That's interesting. We could talk about that after the break if you want to hold on. Sid, 218-339-8525 is the number to ring. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
What is about? There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and welcome back to you as well, Sid. Now, I was just thinking about this, Sid. There's a whole lot of stuff that needs to be done in the truth movement. And you know that conversation we had yesterday on the show about Jew haters and Jew bashing and all of that kind of stuff. And I said that I was going to have a look at these Holocaust denier videos to get a balance of the argument, that kind of thing. Well, sure enough, last night I did watch them. And there really are some big, big questions about the Holocaust that just weren't answered during it. And I was like, whoa, that's very interesting. Like, what was it? What were some of the factoids there? Oh, yes. Zyklon B, for example. Does anybody know that Zyklon B is actually a pellet? All right? It's not a liquid. It's not a gas. Okay? Now, can you tell me, how do you squeeze pellets out of shower heads?
You know, Vinny, I read something about that, and so there's an answer to that somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. Vinny, I look at the world...
There was another interesting thing, is that this dude, he took video cameras into all these gas chambers and things like that that had been used, Zyklon B to de-louse things. Like, apparently during the war, there was this huge outbreak of disease. I forget what the disease was called that was off the back of fleas or louses or whatever, and huge amounts of Zyklon B was actually ordered all throughout Europe, and that's why there was such huge quantities, right? And when they used they did have gas chambers, to be sure. And what they were using them for, and they had all these blue stains and stuff all over the world, which is all over the walls, which is the telltale signs of Zyklon B. And apparently what they were using them for, and this is what the evidence allegedly supports, is that it's, what was it? They were just like delousing all their clothing or something there. And what was interesting is that he noticed the doorways in there. Now, you'd figure if you're putting people into a gas chamber, right, you'd want a door that locks from the outside, right? Well, none of these gas chambers that he went into, and he went into quite a few apparently, had doorways that locked from the outside. They were both capable of being open from inwards and from outwards and not capable of being locked at all, right? Which I found very strange. And the thought that occurs to me is that I'll be called an anti-Semite for even looking at this information at all. Another thing that occurs to me, why is it out of 42 million people that got exterminated or killed in combat operations or general slaughter during World War II, why is only one group of people ever actually mentioned as being the ones that got exterminated? What's the agenda here? Why so much of this all over the place? Hitler killed the Jews, Hitler killed the Jews, Hitler killed... It's over and over, and it's repeated, right? And I was thinking about this. The state of Israel and prophecy, okay, you have a look at them both together, and they're integrally tied together because there's the prophecy about World War III, right, and that it will start in the promised land of Israel. And I was thinking to myself, before World War II, there was no real promised land of Israel. There weren't enough Jews there to really have it qualify as a state. It was still known as Palestine at that time. And the Nazis and the British were doing deals with the people who were trying to set up the new state. I think the British said, if you help us fight the Nazis, will give you the state of Israel as yours. And they made that deal both to the Palestinians and to the Israelis, right? So just common deception. And of course, we know who actually got their deal honored and who got shafted and now has to live in an open air prison camp, right? And then the other thought occurs to me. They needed the state of Israel in order to fulfill the prophecy. The prophecy is the Third World War. The elite want that. Uh-huh. And they would not have been able to even have a chance at fulfilling that prophecy that they want unless there was an air of incompatibility with criticism of the state of Israel. So basically, it works like this. If you want to fulfill a prophecy that is basically doom for all mankind, what you need to do is make sure that the race of people who you're going to attach that doom to can never, under any circumstances, be criticized in any way, shape, or form. What happens to anybody who ever criticizes Israel in any way, shape, or form on any platform?
They're vilified eternally, yeah.
Uh-huh. I think that was why this this whole debacle was really brought about, is to make the Jewish people into the scapegoats for the New World Order, that people in the Truth Movement and without will see the Jews as the enemy, and also at the same time as seeing the Jews as the enemy, be completely and utterly incapable of saying it in public without being completely and utterly ridiculed and having their careers and everything completely destroyed, right? That's why they have AIPAC and all of these other things. If you're a reporter or anybody else of reasonable influence, and you say anything bad about Israel or Jews or anything, they pounce on you like a tiger.
There's there's another target in this, Vinny, and that's the Christian folks.
Oh yes,
because they they will protect Israel, and on top of that, they don't fear death. So they need to be taken out quickly, and they're already being targeted. Laws against carrying crosses, blah blah blah,
And this is an interesting point you raise here, Sid, because I'm of the opinion that we're entering into a neo Spanish Inquisition era, basically, where anybody who's against the church, and I think what is the church now? Is it still the Vatican? Are they still the most powerful entity? I don't know. I think the church is basically all of these different military-industrial complex, psychopathic-run organizations who are owned by very similar families.
Whose God is Lucifer? I mean, let's be straight up.
That's what I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
These people are hardcore, like the most hardcore of the hardcore Luciferians. They hate Jews just as much as they hate Christians, but they're using that conflict, I think, and that ur of anti-Semitism or Jew bashing or whatever, to keep all of us bloody fighting with each other so that we won't notice that we're about to be exterminated by them, the Luciferians. That's the religion that we've got to really be paying attention to now.
Vinny, you've broken the code. You broke the code, dude.
Mm.
Now you have a target on your back.
Thank God for that.
Seriously, man. I mean, there's no reason for us to fight each other. Yeah. It just plays into their hands.
And you know how I said yesterday on the show that because I had those two ladies on talking about Jew bashers and the Truth Movement and everything like that, that I'd get a hell of a lot of abuse from all these people.
Sure.
And people would stop following me and people would get angry with me for exploring both sides of the argument. I was right.
Hey, Vin.
Inbox today, flooded with abuse.
Yeah, but you know what, Vinny?
I unsubbed from you. I knew Vinny was a shill. I knew Vinny was COINTELPRO. These two ladies are completely crazy. You know, the whole nine yards. Exactly what I thought would happen happened. And you know what's funny, Sid? I bloody talked about it anyway, didn't I? Because
I don't care
what people's bloody reactionary, emotional,
visceral mindset.
It does, because it's all just brain fart crap, because they're not looking at both sides of the facts. I am, and that means I'm right, and they're wrong by default, because I'm at least looking at both sides of the argument and finding out that both sides of every single major argument that I've ever argued in my entire life have always been wrong. Not one side or the other has ever been right. They've always both been bloody wrong, and this is what I really get irritated about. You try to have any real intellectual discussion where you're talking about controversial things, where you're trying to actually understand what you're talking about without thinking about taboos and all of this other bull crap that we have to deal with on a daily basis and hold our tongues and bite everything that we say and everything that we think. I'm really sick of it, because whenever I try to break free of it, boom, I get this attack from all sides, Sid, and it's so irritating to me that it makes me almost hate, but it's not hate. It's actually fracking hilarious, because I know these people better than they know themselves, because I've seen what they've seen, and I've also seen what they haven't seen, and I know precisely what they think and how they're going to react. That's why they're so predictable. And I've got a question for you, ladies and gentlemen. If you were one of the people that criticized me yesterday, or unsubbed, or no longer listening to the show, and of course you won't hear this, but if you think that you are right, and being right means you have the ability to refuse to listen, then you're automatically wrong, okay? Are you refusing to listen? Yes, you are, okay? So you've just proven yourself wrong, okay? That's all that it is. Unless you're capable of openly discussing something on the merits of a case with evidence, then you're not operating upon facts. You're operating upon belief. And contrary to popular belief, facts trump belief. Because facts really exist. Beliefs don't really exist. They're ideas. Ideas are not physical things.
They can't need to be killed.
They can't be shot. But of course, they can still have a hell of a lot of effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Vinny, let me tell you something. As you're talking, I have goosebumps all up and down my arms, dude. It's a beautiful thing what I'm seeing happen in you, man. And look, I take no offense as what I call myself a truther, and by definition, a truther has to look into all things. For me to do that, I had to say to myself that everything I was taught in my 6 decades was a damn lie. And I started from scratch, Vinny. And it has to do with everything, not just the issue of Israel. Look, the possibility is that all of that stuff's true. The possibility that we were lied to about the Holocaust is true. It's all true. Because they lied to us at every opportunity. What can they expect from people who realize that they lied to us? Once, look, in court, Vinny, once you have been deemed impeached, nothing you say is worth anything to the court after that. So once we know that the government has lied to us on any issues, their credibility drops to zero. Mm. It's up to us, Vinny. It's up to each one of us to get into whatever documentation we can find and find the truth for ourselves. That's what we've got to do.
Now, that's actually the point. Finding the truth by yourself. Specifically, doing it by yourself. Nobody else telling you what to believe. Nobody else providing all the information or interpretation for you. You've actually got to do some bloody work, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? Do you think I possess all this knowledge and everything like that? Like I was born with it? Like I was random chance or anything like that? Wrong. In the first 6 months, before I was even awake, I was watching close to 2 to 3 documentaries a day. I watched like 160 of them, really short time frame in between them. And I've watched many, many more since then. I've been doing this for 4 years. Believe me when I tell you, it's an extremely time-consuming process to no longer be a dumbed-down slave and learn how to bloody think for yourself. And the best way to do it, I've found, is to listen to people who you don't agree with as often as possible, more often than people you do agree with. Because you know why? The people who always agree with you never teach you a fracking thing. And if you ain't learning anything, what the hell are you still alive for? You listen to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525 is the number to ring. We'll be right back after.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know about the bleeding uranium in the mortar? What you know about AIPAC controlling
the reporter?
What's wrong with the world? People kill people.
You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We were talking about stuff in the chat room. You know that old adage that if a tree falls in a forest and nobody's around to hear it, does it still make a sound? Well, yes, it does, because scientifically speaking, if you drop something, okay, let's say you drop a tree from a height and it bashes into another tree, it makes a sound. Sorry, if a tree falls in a forest and there's nobody around to see it, it does make a sound. You know how I know? Because you can drop a tree on a tree anywhere and it'll still make a sound, because that's science. That's what happens. It's a fact. It's an objective truth, something that you can't change with your subjective opinion. It happens regardless of how you perceive it. You know, it's akin to asking if the atmosphere on Venus is poisonous and nobody's around to breathe it, is it still poisonous? Yes, yes, it's still bloody poisonous, you idiot. It's called composition of elements. Okay, stop being so philosophical about things and understand that there is a clear line sometimes between perception and reality. And what the Luciferian doctrine teaches people is that there is no clear line between perception and reality. And you know why they teach everybody that? Because they know that it's not true, and they want to have an advantage over everybody who thinks that if they just perceive differently, a whole bunch of ruthless sociopathic control freak scumbaggery won't try and kill them, which is not true, because it is scientifically provable that they are trying and succeeding and killing anybody that opposes them, in most cases. Don't you understand? Your perception doesn't matter to them. They don't care, okay? They care about reality. And what their reality is, wealthiest mofos on the planet with the power almost as great as God to kill all life on Earth, okay? And they hate life. They really do. They love seeing it destroyed. They love seeing innocence destroyed. They love seeing truth destroyed. They love seeing spirituality and faith destroyed. That's why they got us all fighting over the Jews did it. No, 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 the Christians did it. The Catholics did it. It's the Muslims. It's this, it's that, it's the other. You know, for frack's sake, none of these people, none of these people who devote themselves to attacking other people are decent cats, okay? That's what I've noticed. All the people in the truth movement who actually get somewhere are getting somewhere because they spend the bulk of their time actually trying to help other truthers, okay? A rising tide raises all boats. And the problem is, nowadays, we've got a whole bunch of people who think that they're the only boat that can rise, okay? And instead of helping other people up the stairs or anything like that, they'd rather just push them down the stairs because I've manufactured a reason why my perception doesn't allow for you and your opinions and your facts and all of that to come into my life. No, that is not the way to go about it. If you want to live a peaceful, happy and nice existence, you've got to actually do things for other people. Okay, we're social creatures for a very good reason. It's because we work a hell of a lot better when we cooperate. You ever look at any study that has ever been done with cooperation versus competition, and cooperation wins out every single fracking time. Okay, you know what a zero-sum game is? A zero-sum game is when the result of the table is always zero. For example, one winner, one loser. It's a zero-sum game. And so in that way, one person automatically loses. And that's the game that they want all of us to play, to try and beat the other person. It's not actually about beating the other person. It's about putting down your racket from that tennis game and just going, you know what? I've got better things to do with myself than hit balls around a giant court with rich British monarchs watching and going, you know, that grunting that they do when they're going, it's kind of like some sort of a tortured seagull type practice. What I think is even more amusing than this is that people actually They're not even the ones playing the zero-sum game. They're just freaking watching, okay? They're not even participating. They don't even have a handle on what their own lives are or what their own understanding or anything like that. When I get up in the morning, I think, bloody hell. Mate, I'm Vinnie Eastwood, and I'm still alive. Look at all this awesome stuff that I can do every single day. I can talk about anything that I want on radio. I'm a god. I'm 6'4". I'm freaking awesome. I'm going to go out there and expose scumbaggery and do the best thing that mankind's ever seen, and nothing can stop me. That's my perception. Might not be the reality, but I'll tell you what. If I perceive myself to be really great, and I go out there and I really try, and I really do make an effort, and I physically work on making everything that I do bloody great, eventually it gets a little bit better. It may not ever achieve perfection, and I certainly don't hope I ever do achieve perfection, because then it'd be quite boring, wouldn't it? I have the perfect methodology for doing everything. Why are you still alive, mate? What else is there to figure out? Okay? It's just the thing. If you are a human being, your potential is fracking unlimited. Don't you get it? That's what these Luciferians and scum know. They know that their potential is unlimited. They know that your potential is unlimited, which is why they keep telling you that it is. That's why they keep telling you all of these things that aren't true. That's why they keep trying to get you to fight with each other, because you would realize that together your potential is far stronger than if you're alone. Because if you're alone, you cannot rise to challenge them. That's why they try to keep you feeling isolated. That's why all the corporate structures and every job that you've ever had has been working for some douchebag who doesn't give a frack about you or your life or your family or anything like that. They only care about their bottom line. It makes you stop caring about yourself. Makes you start thinking yourself is a number. You're not a bloody number. You are a human being. You are an incarnation of all the creativity and life in this fracking universe. And you want to start believing somebody who tells you that you're worthless, that you're nothing? Wake up. Okay? They're only telling you that because they're worthless. Because they're nothing. Because they have limited potential. Because they have limited belief in the power of the human spirit. They think that they're evil and scumbaggery and concocted schemes and prophecy is the bee's fracking knees. I happen to believe different, I could be wrong, of course, that humanity is the most important species in the universe. Or at least it very much is for me, because I'm right here in the center of it, isn't it? And I'd think if I didn't think that what I was doing in my life was important, I probably wouldn't be alive for too much longer, would I? You know? Or I'd start to get depressed, or I'd start to get angry, or I'd start to get drug dependent, or something of that nature. Okay, there's a hell of a lot of things that can really mess with your mind all the time. It's a daily struggle for survival, and it stretches across both your mind, your body, and your spiritual planes, and you cannot separate them. Okay? This is the thing. You got to take care of the whole house. You got to build your foundations, you got to have your walls, and you got to have your roof. Okay. Now this is a figurative way of saying something. Now a roof is something that protects you from what? The stuff that falls out of the sky that you can't control, that are just rain down on you at all times. Okay. That's your backup. If you are emotionally steady and you have a good social network around you, it doesn't matter what crap falls down from the heavens on top of you. You're either going to be dry, or you're going to be able to run inside and get out of the rain at some point if you've done your job properly to protect yourself. And this is an intellectual thing, because you'll be rained down with crap all your bloody life. I can guarantee you it's going to happen your entire life. There'll always be douchebags out there who tell you that you're not good enough, and oh, you haven't made enough money, or some people have got too much time on their hands, etc. To hell with those people. Frack them. Seriously. Like, I don't care about them, their opinions at all. Okay? When I was 11, there were 31 people in my Form 1 class. There were 29 of them that gave me abuse all day, every day that I was in high school, for being fat. Okay? And it made me realize something very, very important. that I was very, very special to have so much bad attention and to survive it.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't underestimate how powerful you are. Doesn't matter how much suffering you go through. Doesn't matter how much abuse you get given. You can bloody well survive it. It's not that hard. All you have to do is realize the fact, the objective, non-perceptive fact that no words can kill you. Only you, believing them, can make you want to kill yourself. Okay? That's what these people want to do. They want to stop you in your tracks by making you stop yourself. That's what happens when you think that perception is reality. You stop yourself dead in your tracks and you limit all of your potential. Don't do it. For frack's sake, don't do it, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I've been through that kind of crap before. Never again. Never again. I'm not going to work for any sociopath again. Never again. I can't do it. I simply can't. And that is a reality, not my perception. I'm just not going to. I've made a decision. And I'm sticking to it. All right, Sid, sorry, mate. I just ranted that entire 10 minutes. I didn't give you a chance to say anything.
No worries. No worries at all.
All right. Well, if you want to say something next segment, I guess you can still keep hanging on. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. .com, and you can join us in the chat room there if you have something to say, or if you want to call up. The number is 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525 is the number to ring up. Oh, and also, if you haven't gone to see that Prometheus movie yet, I mean, despite the fact that it's made by a New World Order company and designed to brainwash you into being a slave of some description, you know, go and see it anyway. I highly recommend it. I really enjoyed it. It was real cool. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. Later. From the fabulously fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, where everybody has a part-time job by government mandate as an incandescent light bulb. And Sid, I think it'll probably be the last words from you, if you think, because apparently it's kind of amateurish to let callers on for multiple segments or whatever. I don't know. I like to let people speak. Everybody's got a story or anything. Can I ask you, Sid, what actually woke you up to the New World Order system? Like, how old were you?
Oh, my. How old was I when I actually woke up to the New World Order?
Oh, yeah.
Vinny, I would have to say that I was 50 because it was 9/11. It was watching the buildings fall as a pancake in free fall. You don't see that in nature. So the scumbaggery was evident, right? You know, one thing after another, Vinny, but it's nice being a regenerated soul, because now, once I started looking into their scumbaggery, Then I started looking into the scumbaggery of the church. Then I started looking into the scumbaggery of the synagogue. Then I started looking into, Vinny, they choose to lie to us at every given moment. That's what they do. They're psychopaths and sociopaths. They, by definition, that's what they do. A scorpion is will bite you. That's what scorpions do. It's their nature. I'd like to say something to the people that found it necessary to hate on you yesterday. They missed the whole point of your show, my friend. Your show is The Lighter Side of Genocide. That's about communicating with each other. That's about communicating in a way that people can hear, using humor, because humor isn't so harsh. And the truth, you know, that you're talking about is quite harsh. And you're so good at it, Vinny.
You know, so that it's like, I'm actually a really bad liar, and that's why I like to tell the truth, because it means I don't have to remember any of the lies. It's the only thing that I can do. And now I've kind of become allergic to lying, in fact. Like, somebody would tell me a lie about something, I'd just be like, no, I can't. Like, even when the lie would be better for me, you know? Like, even if a cop busts me, and I know that they're liars based upon lies and everything, I still tell them the truth about everything. I still give them all my details. I don't know. I'm like the exact opposite of the New World Order pathology. They have the pathology to endlessly lie, even when it would be good to them to tell the truth. And mine is to endlessly tell the truth, even when it would be better for me to tell a lie.
I've been in those positions, Vinny, and I choose to tell the truth for the exact same reasons. Exact same reasons. I can't remember the lies, so I'll just get tripped up. Yeah. And on top of it, I tend to walk in a very peaceful path. And part of that peaceful path is being very invisible. And I mean that, I don't mean that exactly like it sounds, but to be inconspicuous. And you don't go around lying to everybody and remain inconspicuous. People will say, look at the liar. They love doing that.
Well, Obama has managed to do that, though.
Yeah.
When I am if the troops aren't out of Iraq, by the time I'm president, I will get them out. It's the first thing that I'll do.
Oh, Vinny, the websites out there that just list item by item his lies. But, you know, I'm not a hater of Obama. I'm not a hater of Bush. They are the scorpions. By nature, they do what they do.
That's right.
They sting you and try to kill you. That's what they do.
Yeah.
I try to stay away from them. I would suggest to everybody, don't vote. Don't you dare vote. And anybody who votes has nothing to complain about. See, it's the opposite of what they told us, Vinny. You know, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. And I'm of the frame of mind that if you do vote, it's a George Carlin thing. If you do vote, you have nothing to complain about. I just see it that way. You know, the people that listen to you, that like what they hear, they should ask two people to come listen to you, dude.
You know, that'd be great. And the majority of the listeners to this show have been introduced to me by other listeners, or because they've been following the guests that we have on the show, kind of thing. And then they'll hear me interview that guest, and then they'll just start listening to me, kind of thing. And it's basically, it's like this. It's about exposure, okay? And not in the walking around the middle of the night with a trench coat kind of exposure. I'm talking about giving people the information so that they can actually make a decision. Because a lot of truthers forget that the other people don't have any idea what you know. Okay, so when you go accusing them of stuff or blah, 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 being part of the New World Order system, they don't even know what that is. Okay, you're trying to attack them with something that they're not even aware of, which is really stupid because it doesn't work. And the easiest way to do it is to treat them like they're a bloody human being and give them a little bit of information. If they react positively to it, they'll ask questions and they'll want more information. Then you got them. If they don't ask questions and they're just sitting there blankly staring at you, just go, think about that, mate, and then walk off, because otherwise they're a waste of your goddamn time. Right.
Sure.
Now, thanks, Sid, for your call. We're going to go to our next caller now, Jim in Brooklyn. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Vinny.
What's up, man?
How you doing, man? I'm doing good. We just played a show a few days ago.
Yeah. So what can I do for you today, man?
Not much. Y'all want. I heard you start your show off with the Prometheus review, and I didn't get a chance to see that one. But you know, I wanted to talk some sci-fi with you because a lot of what's going on now, I think, is been shown to us in like the 80s.
Yeah. There's a lot of that, like RoboCop, for instance. Totally conditioning people into having robotic stuff and technology and everything doing the policing, and now we've got all this electronic surveillance and everything, and everybody just going, yeah, you know, they're just kind of like, they take the craziest, most illogical conclusion of something that's based in today, and then they put it in a film, so that way they can do tiny little incremental steps day by day by day by day until you actually reach the point that film and that dystopian future is actually in. You reach that point, and you wonder how we got there. It's like these films are virtually a blueprint for our own enslavement.
Well, you know what? It seems to me that there seems to be a 20 to 30 year prediction curve, and I'm not entirely sure that a lot of this stuff is coming from the bad elements. I think some of it is kind of like a psychological warning, because if you notice, the programming changes over time.
Well, it depends. Like, did the director or the producer die in mysterious circumstances after releasing that film? You take a look at Eyes Wide Shut with Stanley Kubrick, and he died very soon after making that film, which exposed the real sex cult type aspects to the elite in society, things like that. Whereas a lot of films, take Judge Dredd, for instance, which is set in the third millennium after climate change has destroyed everything, has destroyed all the nations, and now everybody's crowded into Agenda 21 smart growth cell cities, and they're ruled over by a super police force that are the judge, jury, and executioner. In other words, the people who enforce the law, are they themselves above it?
Oh, you mean New York?
See? Do you see how it happens? You see these things on the films, and then you start to relay it. And that's why it's great, because if you go and tell people, ordinary people who are unaware of this, about the correlation between sci-fi films and the release of technologies and things of that nature, they just think, oh, you must have been watching too many movies. Like, did you remember seeing that film, Surrogates?
Surrogates? I don't think I saw that one.
It's a Bruce Willis film, and basically it's in a future where surrogates are affordable by most affluent people, and they are a machine that it looks exactly like you, and you can feel all the pleasures and everything with the machine completely hooked up to your nervous system while you're sitting in your chair at home walking your machine around. It's basically like a physical machine version of Facebook. You're not a real person anymore. You're sitting there at your computer, and you're living your life through these machines, surrogates, right? And there was a movement of people within this film who were very much against this whole idea, and that it was dehumanizing. It's taking the human experience out of being human, and they were trying to overthrow it. But what I found deeply interesting is that not 1 week after the release of this film, US Department of Defense announces that it is releasing Surrogates.
Hmm.
Okay, and they're going to be using it soldiers and things like that on the battlefield, and that they will be replacing battlefield troops with majority mechanical troops and drones and things like that. By 2020, they say that the majority of U.S. engagements will be fought with machines only.
Well, you know what? In a lot of sci-fi, that's a common theme, you know, these robotic armies and stuff. Have you ever seen Blake 7? from the BBC.
Yeah, I saw an episode of that.
Because when I watched that, they're showing you the exact future that they have planned for humanity. You know, it's like that's the exact, you know, like everything about it, like the black uniforms, you know, that the Federation has. In the very first episode, they explain to Blake not to eat the food because it's drugged with suppressants. It's just like so much stuff that back then you didn't even think about it, but now you hear all this stuff coming to light, and you're like, holy shit, they sold us.
Now, also think about Star Trek. Now, two Star Trek films which I found particularly interesting was Star Trek First Contact, the one with the Borg, and the new Star Trek remake with J.J. Abrams. Now, in Star Trek First Contact, what they had said, well, obviously there's the Borg. Now, the Borg are basically the New World Order post-human ideology to a T, okay? They refer to themselves as the collective. They are ruled over by a overarching queen who has mind control powers over everybody and is manipulative and evil, okay? That's basically the New World Order archetype. And what they do is they come to Earth, they come to Earth and they create a time portal and they come into Earth's past. Before human beings have ever made first contact with another intelligent species, the Vulcans, which originally started kind of the Federation together. And it was after World War III, they referred to it as World War III, where most governments are toppled and things. You see what I'm getting at here? And
mm-hmm. they also refer to the eugenics wars. In Star
That's
Trek.
Right. And guess what the symbol for the Federation is? What is their logo? It is the UN logo. The exact same thing. It is the globe with the 13-leafed olive branches underneath it. The exact UN logo. That is the Federation logo.
Okay. You know, I'm a big Trekkie, and I never noticed that. I'm a big Trekkie, and I never noticed that one.
Mm-hmm. See, and you watch the new Star Trek, the J.J. Abrams ones, when he, you know, that bit where he kind of, he cheats the program and he manages to beat the Kobayashi Maru scenario by hacking into the program, changing the parameters of the test and basically cheating.
Yeah,
when he's being pulled out in front of the entire assembly, the entire General Assembly, in front of all the people and everything like that, you look above the panel of the judges and there is the UN symbol right there for them. Now, also in First Contact, skipping back to the other movie, what the captain, Jean-Luc Picard, was describing to one of these people from the past is that in the future there is no money, okay? There is no cash. There is no physical representation. All currency either is digital or it doesn't actually exist. And he says that economics of the future are very, very different. And what I took that to mean was there is no private property of any kind anymore, right? Nobody's got money, and the government the Federation tells you what you need to live, gives you opportunities and things like that. You can join Starfleet or you can join in this job and everything like that. Everybody's working, but they're only working to survive, and they never get anything for themselves. And they pledge themselves to the collective. That's precisely what the UN wants as well.
Here's another one. Did you ever watch Robotech?
No.
Robotech is anime. It's early 80s. It came to America as Robotech, but it's based on three separate Japanese anime. It's based primarily on the Macross series. And you have the Earth is in World War III. And World War III stops when this gigantic 5-mile-long spaceship crashes into the Earth, and they find out that the inhabitants of the spaceship are these 40-foot-tall humanoids, and so they rebuild it. And then 10 years later, those humanoids show up, and they want their ship back. And this turns into this whole thing, and they got the really cool fighter planes that are F-14s that turn into robots, and so they can fight them.
Mm, mm. Well, that's very interesting, Jim. Thanks for your call, buddy. That's
all right, man.
Yeah, I love talking sci-fi, man. I really want to make a sci-fi film one of these days. I think it'd be really cool, because if you're a truther, you'd know all the stuff that's going to happen anyway, and you just play it off as fiction, and people would think nothing of it. You listen to the
and there's so much
show.
Of it.
We'll be right back after the break. 218-339-8525. Talking about a lot of controversial stuff today, and for those I've offended, frack you. I'm kidding. Because the fact of the matter is, if you get offended, that's a good thing, okay? Because it exposes the fact that you're holding on to a belief, and you're not actually, and you weren't even, thinking about a fact. But that's a bit too arrogant, isn't it? Because there's the other side of things, is that what you think is a fact, later on, you found out it's actually a belief or a perception, and it's just put down on you. Now, my great dilemma in life is because, American Freedom Radio has on its ads no taboo topics and all of that kind of stuff. Do you have any idea how dangerous it is not avoiding certain topics? Like, it really is putting it all out there, chips fall where they may. The bravery that it takes, the diligence and the acceptance that it takes to discuss any of these various eclectic conspiratorial facts, whether they be controversial, like Holocaust denial. I mean, up until yesterday, I knew virtually nothing about what these Holocaust alleged deniers were talking about and anything like that. And now I do know a little bit. Basically, it's the same principle as global warming. Yes, it's happening. Yes, humans are contributing, but it's not the way we were told. Okay, so yes, Jews were exterminated for being Jews. Blacks were exterminated for being black. Lithuanians were exterminated for being Lithuanians, so on and so forth. People in Poland, they had the Jewish ghettos and everything like that. Really, really horrific stuff. Okay, and there's like these tiny little elements of the story that aren't true that these Holocaust deniers have picked up on. And picking up inaccuracies throughout history isn't that difficult, ladies and gentlemen. That's why they have revisionist history. But what happens is, because there's an emotion behind it, because there's a political movement behind it, and because it was kind of like an event that was burned into everybody's memories in such traumatic scope, and especially for those Jews and others, gays and disabled people, people who were mentally retarded, things of that nature, who were all sent to these camps and exterminated and what have you. They remember. They were there. They said, saw, and heard things, and there was a hell of a lot of slaughter. It was one of the most horrific things throughout human history. And that doesn't mean, though, that anybody who questions little bits of it, like were there actually gas chambers used, what was there actually 6 million, okay, and attempting to substantiate those facts that we all hold to be facts without ever doing any research. I mean, how many people actually went to Auschwitz and did Cyclone B testing in the gas chambers to see if there was any residue? None of you did you? But you're told over and over again by many sources that it's there, and for some reason, we believed it because it was repeated to us over and over again. Classic propaganda. That doesn't. And again, I'll get misinterpreted, called racist, and everything. Even though I have campaigned many times to help other people, all different races of people, Jews included, and everything. Okay? And people don't care. It's because they don't care about the facts. Okay? Holocaust deniers don't care about the facts. Jews don't care about the facts. White people don't care about the facts. Black people don't care about the facts. Blah, 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 blah. Nobody seems to care about the facts. All right? Anybody only cares about their perception. You know what I'm saying? Like I was saying before, perception is not bloody reality. Facts. And reality is reality, and only those. Okay? And now, onto the other interesting element of debates when you talk about controversial things, is that if you're honest, you will honestly offend people. Okay? It's the ultimate catch-all trap. And that's what happens every single time. You cannot avoid it. And I'm concerned, of course, that being honest or trying to look at information that other people tell me not to, or try to discuss things that other people tell me not to, again, it comes down to the fact that I'm curious. I actually want to know, and I actually care what the answer is. Most people do not care about answers, and they do not care about facts. I do, and for that, I'm a pariah, and I'm hated by many people. I'm prepared to accept that. It's an unfortunate side effect of being a real, complex person. Okay, I have many beliefs, and I know many facts, but I don't let either my beliefs or the facts or anything kind of get me bent out of shape if somebody comes and challenges them. If somebody comes and challenges my belief about anything, the first thing that I become conscious of is that I must listen. Okay? I don't want to, and it's painful to hear, but I must listen. If I don't listen, I will miss something. Okay? Many people think that a conversation with another human being is something that they can just zone out of if they're not enjoying it. Okay? Not listen. Now, this is the stupidest thing ever. Very stupid. And I can't believe people still do that. It doesn't make any sense to me because, well, I like to listen to people. And our stupidity is very, very dangerous. Because if we are willfully ignorant, I've got no problem with ignorance whatsoever. If you don't know, you don't know. It's my three favorite bloody words. I don't know. My three most hated words, and this is the willful ignorance part, I don't care. I don't want to know. That, as I mentioned earlier on in the show, is the thing that will kneecap you. Okay? Not wanting to know, not wanting to look at the facts, regardless of the consequences. Okay? Facts are facts are facts. Okay? I don't care what the consequences of finding out the facts are. I don't care about that in particular. Okay? I just want to know because I currently don't. All right? If you haven't looked at something and yet you claim to know everything about it, then you're an idiot. Okay? The person who thinks he knows everything obviously knows bugger all. Nothing. The person who thinks he knows nothing, on the other hand, probably knows enough. And I think that I know enough at some occasions, but mate, I could be wrong. Okay? I mean, I've only seen one video on this Holocaust denial thing, and it started to permeate a whole bunch of questions. And of course, there's a whole lot of more research that would have to go into that in order to substantiate these claims, singular rolls of film, evidence, the exposures of early propaganda, and all of that kind of stuff. Okay? This is what I'm talking about. And it extends to everything. Okay? Even politics. Okay, you go and you listen to Obama speak, you listen to Bush speak or anything like that, and just like me, within about 10 to 12 seconds, you're either laughing your ass off or screaming your head off. You know, it comes out of one end or the other. You're either laughing at the comical nature of it. We're going to bring democracy and blah, 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 and we're not going to kill innocent people for no good reason. You lying scumbag. In fact, I was watching a documentary today, or started to watch it. One of the listeners sent it to me yesterday. We were talking about the Mossad involvement in 9/11, and he sent me this video called All War is a Lie. I forget who made it, but there was a clip there that, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, about Barack Obama saying he'll get the troops out, okay? And and it's just, for goodness sake, I almost lost it. I was sitting here in front of my computer watching this documentary, seeing Barack Obama lie, and just enraged beyond belief. And I think that's a good thing, because I actually felt something. I felt something real. I felt real betrayal from this fracking scumbag. I hate that guy. You know, come on. If you're an American, how can you not hate your president? How can you not? Everything that they've ever told you has been full of crap. Everything. They send your sons and daughters and mothers and fathers away to die. And if they don't die, they come back with horrible experiences. And if they don't come back with horrible experiences, they come back with horrible wounds and experiences. And they give them horrible drugs to help them with those. And they cut off their medical benefits. And they dock their pay for the last 3 weeks of the month because they were dead. How can you not hate your president? Those motherfrackers. How dare they? How dare my Prime Minister, John fracking Key, with all his Wall Street banker aficionado suave slimy filth, how dare he just now selling our state assets off, okay? The entire country up in fracking arms over this. They're going to do a referendum. It's like taking candy for a baby, having a referendum over whether or not you want to sell your state assets, because everybody remembers what happens the last time we sold our state assets, okay? Everybody remembers, and nobody wants it to happen. So what does this fracking scumbag do? He wants to pass the bill under urgency within the next fracking week. They have no concern for any of us. None. They will take and steal and murder and destroy everything of value. And they're planning to do even worse. It's terrifying. The implication that by sitting here doing nothing at all, I'm sitting here and I'm doing nothing, I'm a prospect for an assassin, a smiling, pen-wielding assassin that will, with a stroke of his floppy, catwalk, wriggling wrist, can sign my bloody death warrant, can impoverish my country and all my people, all 4 million of them. That easy. That's how little concern and how little respect for the power that they have. They didn't earn that power. They really didn't. They got corrupted by it. And they became very good at concealing their corruption from all of us. They hide them behind these big smiles and big lies. That's all you're voting for nowadays. You're either voting for a big smile or a big lie. And that is a truly horrifying prospect, that the only thing that you can get as a choice is a non-choice. It breaks my heart. I see so many of my countrymen going out there campaigning for John Banks this and John Key that. People running out campaigning for Mitt Romney and Obama. People running out campaigning for David Cameron. Or people running out campaigning for Julia Gillard. These people are all
scum. They wouldn't be in that position if they weren't. Don't lie to yourself. Okay? The worst thing that you can... What's even worse than believing somebody else's lies is believing your own bloody lies. Okay? Spouting somebody else's lies and believing them as if they're true is a violation of everything. Once truth is exterminated, and it will be, unless we do something now, imagine what kind of a society we'll all be forced to live in. A society where there is no such thing as objective truth, where collectivists and people who think that the group is the only thing that matters and that the individual liberties and sovereignty of the human soul doesn't exist. That is a world I do not wish to see. And it's a world that I see vastly becoming a reality. Fast, faster and faster every day. They pass new legislation, new ways to concoct conspiracy, to destroy our economies, to take our liberties, to amalgamate our countries into these big treaty organizations in secret without even telling us or even asking us or anything of that nature. How can you put up with this? How can you? I question why anybody would be sitting here listening to me when they can be outside screaming at the wind, enraged at the loss of your nation. How much do you really love it? How much? What are you willing to give up? You know, JFK was right. Ask not what your country can do for you, because it ain't going to do crap for you. This is owned by a bunch of scumbags. You got to ask what you can do for your country, because the only way to save it is you making a choice. We'll be right back after the break. 218-339-8525, final segment.
Wayne rappers, but I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am not yet credible, so until I can say I'm credible, I'll say that I'm incredible, respectable, and professional. Do you read me? Am I legible? It's time to get down to the question of eventually will the corruption in the government lead to the collapse of us? Lead to the collapse of us. Lead to the collapse of us. Right and left are symmetrical on the puppet master's tentacles. The two sides are identical. The troops are not ejectable. They're forming a prodigy, making the Jordan come out of me. It's like recording Nostradamus, taking a tour in the prophecy.
Keeping it dumpster, keeping it gangster, keeping it gangster. Trying to make sure that the financial terrorists don't kind of, you know, get up to their business without people talking about it. And so the dark conceals a lot because you can't see into it without a light. And what happens now in our societies, I don't think we even have societies plural anymore. I think we just have one society. It's the one global government society, isn't it? We're all part of the same culture, kind of like McDonald's. McDonald's is in almost every country. And you can walk into that McDonald's in any country, and it tastes exactly the same. Tyranny is exactly the same as McDonald's. In fact, McDonald's is pretty tyrannical, but it's the same flavor, it's the same look, it's the same feel, the same wrapping, the same bloody thing, the same corporate logo, the same menu items. It's all the same. Voting for your politicians is like making a decision between whether or not you want to go eat some bad food from Burger King or some bad food from Macca's, okay? And guess what? They're the only two restaurants that are open. There ain't no healthy hummus shop or anything of that nature. There ain't no options whatsoever. You got a choice between poisonous crap that'll fracking kill you eventually, or poisonous crap that'll fracking make you dead eventually. And it's the same thing. They're either going to kill you or make you die. Do you want me to slap you with my left hand or my right hand? And you know what's funny? Is that people get really satisfied with only having those two choices. All right? There was a psychological test that was done. A whole bunch of people had some chocolates, right? Yeah, everybody loves chocolate. Chocolate's good. And what they did is they had these
two platters and there's two different groups of people. Okay, blind test. And they were asked to pick one of the chocolates off of one of the platters. There were 30 different flavors for them to choose from. Okay, they had all the choice in the world. The other plate had only two chocolates, two different flavors. And they separately measured and quizzed people about their levels of satisfaction in these two distinct groups. And the most amazing thing happened. Those who had lots and lots and lots of choice were, on the whole, unsatisfied with the choices they made because they regret and think about other things that they could be doing. Okay? That's what happens to you when you're aware that you've got a choice. You become unsatisfied if you make the wrong choice, or you become unsatisfied just because of the fact that you've got many choices and you're only allowed to pick one. Okay? The other platter, on the other hand, who only had two choices, plain chocolates, were very satisfied because they weren't aware that they had a choice. Okay? That is politics. You were picking between the two plain chocolates and being satisfied because you don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. If you had lots and lots of different political parties, like we do here in New Zealand that get represented in Parliament, most people wind up getting ticked off with their choice. Either because the party that they voted for didn't get in, or because the party that they voted for and did get in changed every single fracking thing that they said that they'd do minutes after getting elected. This happens every time. I'm really angry today. I don't know. Maybe something about that Prometheus movie last night unlocked some kind of alien beast liquid death in my esophagus. I don't know. But today I woke up really happy and yet progressively got more enraged as the radio show has gone forward. And I think it's because I'm just talking about these things that upset me. When you talk about things that upset you, you start getting upset because you start revisiting them and you start reliving them. And you notice what happens when you talk about things that upset you repeatedly over and over again, or you watch a movie that disgusts you over and over again? It starts to lose its effect, doesn't it? Eh? That's why I do it to a large degree. All these things that are difficult for me to do, difficult for me to talk about, things that I get criticized for, and what have you. I do it not entirely dissimilarly from how a person... how a person, for example, will do press-ups to make their muscles bigger or stronger, okay? It's the same thing when you talk about subjects that you're not either intellectually capable of discussing on a high playing field level, you know? Like, for example, I could be discussing who knows what. Doesn't matter what the subject is. Something real complicated, particle physics, blah, 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 and I could be discussing it with a physicist. And funnily enough, we actually were discussing that on the other days. I know nothing, very little about all of that, and yet I was capable of figuring it out. You know why? Because I bloody listened, and even though it was kind of a bit scary or anything like that to be unsure about topics that I know nothing about, you find out that if you keep listening, you keep watching, you keep reading, you keep paying some bloody attention, that stuff starts to become clear and it loses that fear. That's what we all need to start doing. Do something that you haven't done before. And if you're a good listener to this show, most of you are, try and do something today that you haven't done before. Okay, this is just a little thing. Whether it's go and make sure that it's something that offends you or scares you. This could be discussing a topic. Could be talking to a cop. Could be anything. Okay? Something that Penny Bright taught me, and I've taken it to heart, and I really want to honor her because she works every day very hard. Harder than I do, I think. to expose scumbaggery. She just does it in a different form. She's actually writing submissions and things of that nature to the government in official, respectable and professional capacity. Me, I don't have any professionalism, okay? I'm simply doing what I think is right, what I feel, and what I want to do, okay? And I wouldn't really want to be doing anything else in any other way. Like I said, don't really have much of a choice in the matter because I'm here now and it's time to take some bloody responsibility, okay? If you have the ability in any way, shape, or form to help another person or to help yourself, then bloody do it, okay? It's not a hard decision. There's a shockingly large amount of stuff going wrong every day. So unless you take steps every day to do things that are right, the stuff that's wrong is going to keep going, keep getting bigger, keep getting worse, and keep dominating every aspect of your life, okay? So you have to be the master of your own life, the master of your own mind. You and nobody else is responsible for your life. Okay, that's why they call it your life. You don't really have to worry about consequences because they will happen regardless of whether or not you deliberately do something bad or accidentally do something bad. You'll still get consequences. Even doing nothing has consequences because you can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. A lot of people want to retreat backwards, want to bug out, go somewhere that's safe. There is no such place. We are against the wall. We are the rabid dog that is cornered, and we have a bunch of dog catchers coming in to take us out. Okay? But there are a lot of us, and only a few dog catchers. One bite can disable them. One bite. And I'm saying that if you want to live, not just survive, but to really live, you have to defend your life, even when you are in a corner, even when you feel that all the lights have gone out. It is always darkest before the dawn, and the early bird catches the worm. So if you've figured out what the hell is going on with the New World Order, then it is on you. All the responsibility rests on your shoulders. You have to go out there. You have to do something. Don't leave it to me. Don't leave it to American Freedom Radio or any of the other networks or any of the other radio show hosts. You have to do it. Okay? We took responsibility. Look what we've done. Each and every single individual one of us, doesn't matter where it's Sean David Morton or David Icke or Vinnie Eastwood, we've all done huge amounts simply because we made a commitment that we're not going to be slaves anymore, that we're going to try and wake people up, that we're trying to do what we think is right. Okay? Right is might. Look at how powerful we all are. It is not the other way around. These New World Order scum are cowardly filth. Okay? All you need is a little bit of bravery, a little bit of chivalry, and a little bit of honesty. And you can shatter every lie, every bit of scumbaggery that they try to put down on you. Have faith in yourself, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't, your enemy will dominate you. I don't want to see that happen to anyone. I'll see you again sometime, folks. Thanks for listening.